Hi, and thank you for listening to the Talking Information Center. My name is Vicki, and today is Tuesday, June 9th, and I will be reading the Lynn Daily Item. And thank you for joining me. Our first article today is titled, Lynn Tech Graduates 270, by Dylan Pchnarsik. 4 years ago, they arrived at Lynn Vocational Technical Institute as freshmen, learning how to read blueprints, wire circuits, and navigate unfamiliar hallways. Monday afternoon, they received their diplomas and are prepared to enter the workforce as welders, carpenters, nurses' aides, electricians, and future college students, carrying the skills they learned into the next chapter of their lives. The phrase, quote, when you have a trade, you have made it, unquote, captured the spirit of the Lynn Vocational Technical Institute graduation ceremony. A phrase coined by this year's commencement speaker and former principal, James Ridley. Students at LVTI spent 4 years learning a trade and a traditional high school education at once. For many, including this year's valedictorian Pong Tran, attending LVTI was a major accomplishment in and of itself. It was my dream to go to tech, Tran said, reflecting on his admission interview. Tran encouraged his fellow graduates to never stop chasing your dreams. Achieve those dreams with the people you love around you. He said, inhale this surreal moment of exhilaration. Because we did it. Tonight, we hang our caps and gowns. Remember this. We are not bound by numbers on a sheet of paper, but by the quality of our character. Tran's speech reflected on character, dreams, and the emotional goodbye to LVTI as the class of 2026 prepared to start the next chapter of their lives. Salutatorian Alexavier Saldana brought the focus back to classes, shop work, and making lasting memories in familiar spaces. Those walks between buildings and where some of the best conversations happened, whether it was confronting a test we just took, stressing about an assignment due next period, or just talking with friends. Those few moments outside ended up creating a lot more memories than any of us probably realized at the time, he said. Saldana said, our entire graduating class has worked tremendously hard to be here today. In each of our unique ways, we have all overcome many challenges. Saldana ended by crediting family and teachers for getting him to the LVTI graduation stage. Class President Kaylee Deschamps thanked her support system and the classmates who became family, even during the years of separation during the COVID-19 pandemic. Our class has one more core memory that no other graduating class will ever fully understand. We went through basically our entire middle school years quarantined and separated from the world, which changed the way we learned, connected, and the way we grew up, she said. Yet after the pandemic, we made it here because we are resilient and adaptable, she said. We deserve to give ourselves credit for that. One of the highlights of her time at LVTI was finding a family in my health tech shop, Deschamps said. I found a group of people I spent 7 hours a day with for 5 days every other week. They have supported me, pushed me, and reminded me that I was always capable of more than I believed. Mayor Jared C. Nicholson said the lessons students have obtained here at LVTI are lessons that you will carry with you that I think make you uniquely prepared for the world ahead. Principal Fred V. Gallo, who is retiring after 36 years in education, told graduates, success isn't something you achieve in the future. Rather, success is a process that you go through as you travel through life. The paper shows a number of pictures. Lynn Tech and her decorated cap, Melanie Cruz. Lynn Tech graduate Shailen Ibar jokes with friends before the start of the commencement ceremony. A Lynn Tech graduate waves to the crowd gathered for the commencement ceremony on Monday. Balloons floated away before making it to their intended Lynn Tech graduate. Yeah, those balloons took off all right. Lynn Tech graduates Joseph Rodriguez Diaz and Anderson De Leon Cristostomo perform the national anthem and lift every voice and sing at the start of the commencement. Lynn Tech Class of 2026 Vice President Sahara Belizaire recites the Pledge of Allegiance during the commencement ceremony. Superintendent of Lynn Public Schools, Dr. Molly Cohen, addresses the Lynn Tech Class of 2026. Lynn Mayor Jared Nicholson addresses the Lynn Tech Class of 2026. Lynn Tech Principal Fred Gallo shows off the gift from the Class of 2026 as he prepares to retire. Lynn Tech's salutatorian, Alexavier Saldana, addresses his fellow graduates. Lynn Tech Class of 2026 President Kaylee Deschamps left is hugged by Amy Troncoso as she walks up to give her speech. Lynn Tech valedictorian Pong Tran addresses his fellow graduates. James Ridley delivers the commencement speech during Lynn Tech's ceremony on Monday. Our next article is titled, Lynn Will Be Watching the World Cup, written by Olivia Haydar. As the world's biggest soccer tournament arrives in Massachusetts, Lynn's Haitian community will have a chance to celebrate Team Haiti without paying World Cup prices. The city is partnering with the North Shore Haitian Association to host its first World Cup event, a Team Haiti watch party sponsored by the mayor's office and Essex County District Attorney's Office on June 19. The watch party for the Haiti versus Brazil match is intended to provide residents with an affordable way to experience the excitement of the 2026 FIFA World Cup, which will bring 7 of its games to Gillette Stadium, where ticket prices could start as low as $400, but get as high as $14,000. A big part of it is to make sure that people who want to get involved here have an opportunity to do it. That is pretty inclusive. And they don't necessarily have to go out to further communities when they can do that in their own home, City Councilor Cardeliz Paez said. The citywide viewing party will take place at City Hall at 8:30 p.m., featuring the best pairing of cultural expression, sports, and food. Local Haitian business owners Emmanuel Pepe Nicholas of M&M Flames Catering and Regina Romulus of Mondi's Kitchen are coordinating the event's food offerings, bringing together a team of Haitian chefs to prepare traditional dishes for attendees. We have a lot of talented Haitian cooks who are going to come together to collaborate to make sure we have a nice home culture meal that evening, Nicholas said. Mayor Jared Nicholson is urging locals to share their plans with each other to encourage more community engagement. I encourage residents and visitors to patronize Lynn's many fine restaurants and establishments offering great food and atmosphere during the matches. The watch party is just the beginning of Lynn's FIFA World Cup playoff. District Attorney Paul Tucker's office has planned a soccer skills and drills event for local middle and high school students on June 27 at Manning Field. We are happy to collaborate with City of Lynn to offer this skills and drills clinic and contribute to the excitement of the community surrounding the World Cup, Tucker said. We hope this event will create a fun experience and offer the opportunity for young players and future soccer stars to celebrate the game while engaging on the field with their friends and peers. This event will be split into two age blocks, one for the middle schoolers and one for the high schoolers, John Thibault, Mayor's Chief of Staff, said. We have wanted to pull something together to provide our residents with opportunities to gather as a community, Thibault said. The mayor's office has been working on a new website to help residents access information about the World Cup community events in Lynn. We're going to continue an effort to create a directional website for the city called Visit Lynn, Councillor Paez said. Right now it needs a couple of updates because it hasn't been updated in 2 years, but we're repurposing that website to make it a destination site for the city. These initiatives were designed to advance Lynn's objective of fostering accessible community unity, but the significance extends far beyond a simple soccer match for members of the Haitian community. We've been the underdog, and not only as a sports team, but also as a country, said Nicholas. We've been going through a lot, but for this evening, for all of us to come and celebrate together, that's huge. Her next article today is titled Linfield Restaurant Damaged in Drunk Driving Crash, written by Elizabeth Della Piana and Anne Marie Tobin. Linfield. Ben Pimental, a 19-year-old from Linfield, was arrested after crashing into the side of School Street Foods in Linfield early Sunday morning. Pimental graduated from Linfield High School in 2025 and was the starting goalie captain of the school's lacrosse team. Pimental was observed operating his car erratically on Route 1 North and ignored a Massachusetts state trooper who signaled him to pull over before exiting the highway via the Salem Street ramp, where he would go on to crash into the restaurant, according to reports. The teen was arrested and charged with operating under the influence, failure to stop, negligent operation, and various other charges. He will be arraigned on Monday at Peabody District Court. No one was injured in the crash, and the investigation is ongoing. According to a post by head chef and co-owner Javier Baez, he arrived at the restaurant at 3 a.m. to assess the damage. The car entered through the side of the building, crashing through the wall into the dining area. Before a press conference held at 4 p.m., building owner Eric Rubin said the building would be evaluated on Monday to determine the full extent of the damage. The building has been in the family for around 50 to 60 years. Rubin stated that the car had hopped the curb near the Littlefield Real Estate Building, two doors down, and took down signage at a small office building at 624 Salem Street before plowing through the fence that separates the entrance to the office and School Street Foods. Co-owner Gina Goodwin said that an order for 100 pastelitos was received Sunday for Danvers State Police, and that they had responded to the call wanting to show support for the restaurant. During the press conference, Baez said, "I received a call at 1:30 a.m. and was told someone had crashed into the building. I didn't think it was going to be anything serious, and then I was told everything was done for. The lights were out, the basement was flooded, all our food was ruined." Baez said it broke his heart to see what happened, because we had put so much time and energy into this business. He noted that Pimental was going so fast that the restaurant's camera captured only a second of the crash. Co-owner Ed Goodwin said that one bad decision had screwed things up for the people working there. "We're down for probably 6 months, and that's just heartbreaking," he said. Gina Goodwin said that they were lucky the accident didn't occur during business hours, as it would have led to multiple fatalities. School Street Foods opened in 2024 and is located on Salem Street, right next to the post office and Linfield Fire Station. On Saturday, the restaurant celebrated the opening of its second location in Methuen, just hours before the crash. Gina Goodwin has been an active member of the community, and about 15 years ago, she began donating Thanksgiving meals to families and organizations in need. In 2025, she donated more than 25,000 Thanksgiving meals to local communities, packaged in 1,900 kits that feed 10 people each. She also gave away 4,000 single-serve ready-to-heat meals and approximately 75 free hot meals on Thanksgiving Day to local first responders and walk-ins. This is the second incident in a little more than 6 months involving accidents with property damage in the immediate area. The new fire department headquarters was struck by a vehicle in October 2025, just days after the department began operating out of the building. To help support the restaurant, provide stability for employees, transition employees to the new location, and cover multiple expenses while insurance claims are being processed, a GoFundMe called Help Keep School Street Foods Alive has been posted. The goal is to reach $25,000 of donations, with the restaurant currently at 1,920 as of press time. The next article is titled Marblehead Author Sets Sail with New Book, written by Sophia Harris. When Eric J. Dolan began researching the history of American whaling nearly two decades ago, he stumbled across a story he couldn't shake. The tale involved an American whale ship called the Mentor, which wrecked on a reef in the Pacific archipelago of Palau in 1832. The surviving crew members endured years of captivity, starvation, uncertainty, and cultural conflict before rescue. The story never made it into the book he was writing at the time, but it stayed with him. "It was sort of in the back of my head," Dolan said. "Then I wrote a book called Left for Dead, which is about five men who were intentionally marooned on the Falkland Islands during the War of 1812. Since that book had a story about a shipwreck and people surviving on an island for many years, it brought back memories of the wreck of the Mentor. That memory eventually became The Wreck of the Mentor, a true story of death, despair, and deliverance in the age of sail," which was released on June 2nd. The book has already generated significant attention. It was named by the New York Times as one of the non-fiction books, quote, everyone will be reading this summer, unquote. Following that mention, Times reviewer Blair Braverman called the book a work of serious research and clean prose that contains plenty of interesting illustrations that keep the pages turning fast. While this publication might mark Dolan's 17th book, it is the first time this story has ever been told. "There haven't been any books on the wreck of the Mentor until mine," he said. "This is a story that nobody will have heard of." This book also represents the latest chapter in a writing career that almost never happened. In the late 1990s, while working full-time and writing books on the side, Dolan told wife Jennifer that he wanted to become a full-time author. She said, "Fine, but you have to put aside a year's worth of your salary before you can quit," he recalled. "So I worked for about 6 years writing books on the side and saving money." Then one evening, Jennifer surprised him. "We were watching TV, and she said to me, 'You can quit your job,'" he said. I said, "What?" She'd kept a bank account for me and put aside a year's worth of my salary. That same year, his book Leviathan, The History of Whaling in America, was published and performed well enough to secure a 2-book contract with W.W. Norton & Company Publishing. I couldn't have done it without Jennifer's support, he said. She has always been very supportive of my writing. Nearly 2 decades later, Dolan still speaks about writing with the enthusiasm of someone who has found exactly where he belongs. It's the best job I've ever had, he said. It's the hardest job I've ever had, and I'm just glad I can do it. Much of The Wreck of the Mentor was researched from the 3rd floor of his Marblehead home, where digitized archives, historical newspapers, and online collections allowed him to reconstruct a story that had largely been forgotten. Researching and writing a book is just a lot of time sitting in front of a computer, he said. Writing, saying, oh, that stinks, writing something else, and then you get to the point that you like it. He also credited the Abbott Public Library for the creation of this book and many others. The Abbott Public Library was very important to me because I ordered a ton of books through interlibrary loan, he said. The release of the book has already taken Dolan on a 5-state tour and will keep him busy throughout the summer with roughly 30 talks. Local appearances include the Swampscott Public Library on June 18 at 6:30 p.m. and the Marblehead Museum on June 25 at 7 p.m. I'm naturally an introvert, so I've had to teach myself to get up in front of people and give talks, he said. Despite publishing 17 books, Dolan said the arrival of a new title never feels routine. It's sort of like having a kid, he said. Your book comes out and you hope it does well in the world. Whether readers pick up The Wreck of the Mentor on a beach, on vacation, or at home, Dolan hopes it offers a brief reprieve. I like to think this book, especially in the summer, will provide an escape, he said. I think it'll transport you to a different era, a different time, and for the time that you're reading the book, you'll be able to forget about the current woes in the world. I hope when they finish it, he said, they say that was time well spent. Great article. Our next article is titled Software Allows Lenners to Submit Accessibility Concerns by Dylan Pichnarsik. Residents can now use the app See, Click, Fix, all together as one word, to report accessibility concerns to the Department of Public Works. According to its website, See, Click, Fix 311 CRM by Civic Plus is a 311 solution that empowers residents to report issues, identify repair needs, share feedback, and ask questions of their local government leaders. Through CClickFix, a report will be sent to the DPW, Department of Public Works, and a work order will be sent to the respective department the request falls under. The city has its own page on CClickFix's website. Reports can also be made by calling DPW. Disability Commission Chair Rochelle Waterman Williams said at a meeting of the commission on June 2nd that after a report is submitted to the DPW, they will assess the area in the city, determine if it can be added to an upcoming project, and if there are funds available, and if it is, in fact, an accessibility issue. Currently, there are 2 public works projects concerning accessibility in the works, Waterman Williams said. The Disability Commission also released an annual report regarding its recent work. Waterman Williams said the report contains information for the city officials, including what has been previously approved or sponsored, the Commission's accomplishments, and any recommendations or goals. The Disability Commission reported that it sponsored 9 activities, totaling $114,315. Waterman Williams said a future goal of the commission is to find a way for the commission to be more involved in the application and selection process for a commission member. For a couple of reasons, one of them being just the challenge that we've had with getting our new members on board. The communication, or lack of communication, that took place in order to get them to where they're at. The commission also has future goals of establishing an outreach and engagement subcommittee and increasing community outreach, refining its request processes, and building relationships with departments across the city. In what looks like our last article today, nonprofits receive grants to empower women and girls in Lynn, written by Daisha Smith. The Women's Fund of Essex County has awarded $30,000 in grants to support two nonprofit organizations, Love Your Magic, Inc., and the North Shore Community Development Coalition, Incorporated, that are empowering women and young girls in Lynn and across the country. The grants, which will be spread out over 3 years, are part of a monumental $390,000 total commitment that the Women's Fund, or TWF, has awarded to 13 nonprofit organizations across Lynn and Swampscott. Trish Moore, president of the Women's Fund of Essex County, said since 2003, I'm proud to share that our all-volunteer organization has raised and granted over $5 million to high-impact organizations in every city and town across Essex County, all with one goal, improving the lives of women and girls in our communities. The North Shore Community Development Coalition is a mission-driven organization that invests its resources in low-income communities across Lynn, Beverly, Peabody, Salem, and Saugus. This includes affordable housing, community engagement, assistance to small businesses and public art and placemaking, as well as their youth development program, Youth Build, which serves young adults between the ages of 16 and 24 who are currently out of work or no longer attending school. The program gives them the opportunity to earn a high school equivalent diploma and gain work experiences and certificates in industries such as construction, culinary, and even healthcare. With support of the Women's Fund, all of the organizations will be able to continue supporting women and young girls in the city, all while making a difference in their lives and in future years to come. Pierce said by investing in these young women today, they are helping to cultivate future leaders, professionals, entrepreneurs, mothers, and community change makers whose influence will be felt for generations to come. That's all the time we have today for the Lynn Daily Item. My name is Vicki at the Talking Information Center, and thank you so much for joining me.